There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Hey everybody, it's time for the Buck Ballou Show. We are live in the Battery, Atlanta, and you're listening to The Fan, 680 and 93.7. Streaming at 680thefan.com. Get that Fan mobile app, driven by Beaver Toyota, and listen on the smart speaker, brought to you by South Point Financial Services. The 10 o'clock hour on The Fan is brought to you by the Haug Barron Law Group. All right, we've got Road Dogg on the road in Athens today. Kirby Smart, the press conference coming up at noon. You're going to hear it right here on The Fan, the official sports talk home of the Georgia Bulldogs. Nerney in the house, ready to go. Nerney was early today. And DT scrambling to get it all done today. Did you get it all done, DT?
Oh, yeah, we're set, Buck.
All right. A lot to get to, obviously. We were busy over the weekend as far as the sports teams go, so a lot to get to. What do you say we get to?
Bucks Big Take.
All right, Jeff Collins' tenure as the Georgia Tech head football coach has ended four games into his fourth season. The record, 18-28. 7-19 in the ACC. Basically, it was ugly. Most of it was non-competitive. Jacket fans had lost hope, and when that happens, the head coach has got to go. Collins got the job because of two reasons. One, he could promote. Two, he totally embraced the challenge of rebuilding Jacket football. Unfortunately for Georgia Tech, the 404 sales pitch wasn't enough to get the job done. At some point, the coaching has to lead the way. And that's where Collins came up short. He talked a good game, but he couldn't back it up. And today, the Georgia Tech Athletic Board meets to talk about his $12 million buyout and the fate of athletic director Todd Stansbury. Word on the street is that Stansbury is gone too. After all, he hired Collins and gave him a seven-year contract. So as Nick Saban would say, gone, as they turn the page down on the flats. And we'll have a little bit more on this coming up a little later in the show as far as who would be next. Got some ideas about that. Braves are busy, though. I believe they're heading to the White House as we speak. That should be entertaining. Let's chop it up, Nerney.
Time to talk Braves. Let's chop it up. Presented by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. HaugLawGroup.com.
Yeah, Braves got them I think one of the biggest wins of the season yesterday. 8-7-11. You're able to split the four games in Philadelphia and stay within a game and a half of the lousy, stinking Mets with nine games remaining in the season. A big win, no doubt about it. I mean, you lose that game yesterday, you go down 2.5 with nine to play. That is tough sledding trying to come back from that. But Braves able to get the job done, which was really encouraging. And I tell you, talk about encouraging. How about Ronald Acuna Jr.? Not in the lineup. And then here we go. He pinch hits in the top of the eighth inning. Intentionally walk him. And then a little later comes back with an RBI single that helped the Braves win the game. And then after the game, said he felt good. out there swinging the bat, running the bases. Felt good. That is encouraging. Maybe we can get Acuna finishing big in these last nine games of the season. Looks like he's swinging the bat well. And we need him in that lineup. So that is awesome to see. Let's hear from Snit after the ball game yesterday, talking about Acuna getting back in there.
Yeah, well, I didn't know until, I asked George and him when the game starts that, how he was doing. And, you look down there and he's got his cleats on. So especially a game like this where it's early, it takes him a while to make sure, And so they treated him up and then he said, no, he's good to go with the whole thing, play the outfield and everything. So that's a good sign.
All right, plug and play the rest of the year for Acuna. Felt good. Man, that is awesome. Sort of made my day. I'd say he's making my season as far as the Braves go. Our all-star world champion shortstop, Dansby Swanson, coming up huge. Clutch. Down the stretch here. He's on pace to play in 160 games this season. Of course, you know the numbers, what he's done this season. 281, 22 bombs, career-high 92 RBI. But if you dig a little deeper, you're going to find that Dansby Swanson, if you didn't recognize it during the year, is one of the clutch players on this team. He's hitting .328 with runners in scoring position. And wait, there's more. He's hitting .350 with runners in scoring position and two out. Talk about epic clutch. Dansby Swanson. I believe our most valuable player this season. MVP. MVP. Of course, the big question is what happens with Dansby after the season ends? Contract is up. Market value somewhere between $20 and $25 million a year. Yeah, don't you just know the Braves are going to encourage him to try to take a hometown discount, which is a tough thing to sell to a guy that's lighting it up again this season. Man, I'm going to miss Dansby. I'm going to miss him a lot. I think he is really the captain of the ball club right now with Freddie out of here. He is a leader of this locker room, a favorite among the fan base. Don't you know that Alex Anthopoulos, the Braves front office, got to be feeling some heat as far as the contract re-upping with Dansby come the end of the year. I would hate to see the Braves lose him. That would be a loss that I'm not sure we'd overcome. Looking ahead to next season and beyond. Totally critical to find a way to keep Dansby Swanson. And there you go. That's us chopping it up for you as we get the show started today. We've got a 7:05 start in D.C. Nationals. I believe we're throwing Bryce Elder at him tonight. That was not announced. Just a blank spot there on what the Braves would do. Looks like Elder will get the start tonight as we take on the lousy, stinking Nationals. And what I hope will be a three-game sweep. Then we come on back home for the biggest three-game series of the season. Aren't you excited about that? Man, I am so excited. Can't wait to see the three games with the Mets. And it's so important that if we can win tonight and that lead goes to one game, keep it at one going into that Mets series coming up later this week. Totally looking forward to that. I mean, this is, to me, the best case scenario. I would much rather show it to the Mets and then take it away than have a 15-game lead on the Mets. That's not as enjoyable. To me, what's enjoyable is to lead the Mets on, then at the last minute, jerk that carpet right out from under him.
I said the same thing on our College Game Day show on Saturday. As much as I would enjoy hanging another NL East pennant up at Truist Park, that's not what my number one motivating factor right now. I want to see Mets fans suffer because of this. We have a lot of pennants over there, and another one would be nice, but, to see the look and the tears and the faces of Mets fans, my number one motivator.
And just to get those guys going at Sports Talk Radio up in the Big Apple, what's the dude's name that is at, the Braves never lose?
That's Frank the Tank.
The Braves never lose.
And then you got Sal Licata, the overnight, the red eye host over there.
You know, it seems to me we've got a lot of, like, the New Yorker types come down to Atlanta and do sports talk radio. I don't know of any of the Deep South guys that go up to New York and do sports talk radio. Why is that? Because you don't have any Southerners moving up to New York?
Yeah, I would say weather.
We got the New Yorkers moving down here, yeah.
I would say traffic as well. I don't even know if most people have cars, but I mean, hell, we can't be very behind them in traffic.
Yeah, nobody's worse than us down here. Although during fall break today was such a pleasant surprise. I mean, I got on 400, actually went 55 miles an hour, went the speed limit. Didn't have to get in the emergency lane once. So pleasant with fall break underway. All right, coming back on the other side, man, we're diving into college football. So we have got the top five. My top five this week has had some changes. Stay tuned for that. Plus a play of the week, some Falcons talk, a little Bulldog talk. It's the Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Buck Belue Show on The Fan. Believe we are the fastest sports talk radio show in the Deep South. Regardless of what you might hear otherwise, we get right to the sports. And a lot to get to today, brother. In fact, I think the best way to hit a lot of different topics as far as college football goes is to hit that top five, Nerney.
The best in college football and the NFL.
Five, four, three, two, one.
It's time for Buck Belue's Top 5, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
Yes, sir, the Deep South Top 5, brother. All right, DT, let's roll, man.
All right, Buck, let's start with the good old-fashioned top five.
Yeah, the rankings are out.
Yeah, maybe is there going to be any movement in the Buck Belue Show college football top five this week?
Well, up top, there was no movement in the AP or the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
But there is in the Buck Belue Show top five. I've got this week Alabama number one.
Okay.
I've got Georgia two. Georgia a little sluggish. With the win over, I was listening to some of it on the radio on Saturday, and for a second I thought they were playing Golden State. Well, the announcer kept saying Golden State.
I think I caught that once or twice.
Yeah, yeah, so Alabama looked a lot better than Georgia did on Saturday, so I flipped it. This week, Crimson Tide number one, Georgia falls to number two. Ohio State staying at number three, where they've been all season long. Number four, the Michigan Wolverines. Five, I had to kick Oklahoma out, losing to K-State. Mm. How dare them lose to K-State? They seem
they always have trouble with K-State
every single year.
Say, what are you talking about? They always lose to K-State.
I don't have a fifth-rated team.
No? Clemson?
All right, I'll go Clemson.
USC?
I'll go Clemson over USC.
Sure. All right.
This is the Deep South. Clemson, Wake Forest did put on a really good show. I'll give them credit for that. USC looked ugly. So, yeah, I'm going Clemson 5. So, this week, Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Ohio State 3, Michigan 4, reluctantly going Clemson 5.
I mean, I guess you have to put in a fifth one somehow. All right, Buck, we want to know who was your Buck Belue Show Deep South player of the week.
I'm going Tennessee quarterback Hendon Hooker.
Player.
Man, he put up some big numbers against the Gators. 22 of 28, 350 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Hold on, I'm not done. Hooker ran 13 times for 112 yards and a touchdown.
Doing it all for the Vols.
Hendon Hooker, take a look at the college football total QBR.
Oh, yeah, I bet his is up
there. Hendon Hooker's number 3 in college football. Third-rated quarterback in college football. The guy can do it all. He's now comfortable in the offense. Hendon Hooker is a force to be dealt with.
Yeah, slinging it around but protecting the football at the same time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Buck, I got to ask, what was Bulldog deep defensive back Javon Bullard thinking Saturday night, Sunday morning, whatever wee hours of the morning, we should say?
I always call it like Saturday night.
I guess so. It's Saturday night, yeah. But yeah, I was just making a point. It was Sunday morning.
Yeah, well, he wasn't thinking.
Yeah, that's what he was thinking.
Yeah. Come on. Thinking? I mean, this guy wasn't thinking. As I've heard it many times, even when I was young, is he was young and dumb.
Yeah.
Is what he was. I mean, he totally blew it. Here he is, a young player. He's a starter in that nickel package for Georgia. He's on the field. A starter.
Sophomore starter here.
As an underclassman. Yeah. He's getting major playing time on the number one team in college football. And you pull a knucklehead move like this.
Why aren't your lights on? Why don't you have your license?
And why are you on the phone?
Oh, gosh.
It's like 4:30 in the morning. And why are you hammered?
That's obviously the biggest thing.
Young and dumb.
Well, can't explain it all. Hopefully, Javon learns from this.
Just move to the side and let somebody else step in and play.
Yeah, you're going to run some stairs, son. All right, who is the Buck after the fun weekend of college football?
Was it? You enjoyed it, huh?
It was, other than, George looking a little sluggish, but, yeah, we had a lot of good games.
Wasn't the fun for Tech.
What's the not the most fun for Tech. But with that in mind, Buck, who is the happiest fan base in college football this week?
Well, I believe right now, at this very moment, it's the Tennessee Volunteers. Fire up Rocky Top. My goodness gracious.
Man,
Tennessee is back. The Volunteers. Think about it. They beat their nemesis, who was the Florida Gators.
It was almost the way that Georgia finally exercised those demons of just decades of domination.
I mean, don't you know they were knocking back that whiskey after the ball game? So they beat Florida. They wake up and find out they're in the top 10 for the first time in 6 years. As a matter of fact, rank number 8, which is the highest ranking since 2006. So it's been a while since Tennessee was on top of the Rocky Mountains. The Smoky Mountains. I'm sorry, Smoky Mountains.
Rocky Top.
What am I thinking about?
Yeah,
Rocky Top. It's the Smoky Mountains.
There you go.
Should be Smoky Top, right?
Yeah, so Tennessee, man. Nobody's happier than the Tennessee Volunteer football fans right now.
Well, good for them. Enjoy it. Enjoy it while you can. All right, so moving on, Buck. What was the best performance that you saw this weekend in football?
It was Friday night.
Okay.
High school football.
Friday night football, yeah.
And I've been looking forward to this, seeing the Brookwood High School quarterback, Dylan Longeron, who has committed to go to Alabama. So I'm telling you, man, if you're a quarterback and you're committing to go to Alabama, then you must be something to see. So I was looking forward to seeing this young man play this past Friday night, and he put on a really good show. Passed for over 400.
Ooh.
4 touchdowns. Led Brookwood to a 41-24 win. Totally impressed.
Well, I guess that's how you get recruited by Alabama, huh, Buck?
Yeah, and he's going to play baseball, too, as a matter of fact. He's a pitcher. So I can't wait to see how this works out.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear.
Because Nick Saban, typically, they're not watching their football players play baseball during spring football practice.
And as a South Gwinnett man, it's hard to compliment.
But I hope he stays true to to what he wants to do. And wishing the young man the best. He put on a really good show. And matter of fact, so did our quarterback, Ty Watkins.
Woo! Yeah, glad to hear you're doing some good Friday Night Football. That's your top five.
Bucks top five on 680 The Fan, Atlanta's sports station.
All right, we're going to get into some Falcons talk right now. And want to tell you first, though, about Win Big at Racetrack with Miller Lite. 680 The Fan, Miller Lite, and Racetrack are giving you, that's right, you, the opportunity to win Atlanta Falcons tickets, tailgate grills, coolers, shirts, hats, koozies, and much more. Aren't you fired up? Just stop by and say hi, the Fan promo team, and get registered for your chance to win the Falcons tickets. How do you do it? Well, this Thursday from 4 to 6 at the Racetrack at 510 Peachtree Parkway in Cumming. Hold on, that's my neck of the woods. Or Friday, 4 to 6 at Racetrack, Bell's Ferry Road in Kennesaw. Your next chance, your next opportunities to win those Falcons tickets. See full details, 680thefan.com/racetrack. No purchase necessary, but you do have to show up. And I think you got to be like 21 to be able to win, I believe. Not sure about that part. Falcons totally... You know, I had somebody yesterday evening saying, what'd you think about the Falcons win in Seattle? And I said, well, number one, I thought they were going to lose. And I did. It is true. I picked the Falcons to lose in my picks of the week last Friday. I was surprised, obviously, and I was very impressed. Very impressed that Arthur Smith got my favorite tight end involved in the game, Kyle Pitts. 5 catches on 8 targets. Good job, Arthur Smith. Very nice job. So impressed with his ability to come out and get involved and get him involved immediately. And he was lined up like he has been. In line at tight end, flexed out at tight end, playing an X wide receiver spot. I believe I even saw him line up in the backfield as a running back, trying to get some good matchup advantages. Look, he's a mismatch anywhere you line him up on the offensive formation. So totally impressed with the way Arthur got Kyle Pitts involved. Now, I was a little surprised in that Patterson was able to run the ball like he ran. I mean, we totally gashed that Seattle Seahawk defense. Totally gashed them with the run game. CPAT was 17 for 141. Let me do the math for you. 8.3 yards per carry. Broke off a 40-yard run. Really surprised at the way we were able to run that football at Seattle. I was both surprised and impressed with the way things went down in the second half. Because even at halftime, I was thinking, okay, we're playing tough, but I don't expect our team to come out in the second half and take care of business. How wrong could I have been? They won the second half. Falcons won the second half 10-3. Won the third quarter. Came out of the locker room and really grabbed him by the throat. Won the third quarter 10-3. And then it was a scoreless fourth quarter. So both surprised and impressed with the way we took charge of that game in the second half. Falcons now 1-2 and avoid being only the joining the Raiders as the only 0-3 team in the National Football League. But now the Falcons will come home and face the Cleveland Browns coming up on Sunday. Surprised and impressed with the job the Falcons did. Let's hear from Arthur Smith, the head coach, after the ball game, talking about getting the first win of the season.
There was no flinch on the sideline. And that's what's awesome, is nobody sat there. Defense said, hey, Buckle Chinstrap, ready to go. And I can't remember the exact order, but I believe Zoe came out, got a sack. Again, they converted one. They made a play. Like, it felt like a heavyweight fight. That's a tough team. It's a tough place to play. We got a lot of respect. They wanted to run the ball today. So did we. And we were the last team standing.
Yeah, and you look at some of the guys we got over on that defensive side of the ball that played well. Rashawn Evans, 12 tackles in the game, 2 passes defended. I thought he couldn't cover. That was his reputation coming into Atlanta. Evans with a big game. And then Richie Grant. This is one of the highlights for me. We wondered where Richie Grant was a year ago as a rookie coming out of UCF as a ball-hawking safety. And he had trouble grasping the defensive playbook, which I can only assume is pretty complicated with that defensive coordinator that Arthur Smith has hired. But Grant doing some great work. Seven tackles in the game. Had the interception that ended the hopes of the Seahawks there at the end of the ball game. All in all, Ballou was surprised and impressed with the way the Falcons went about their business yesterday. And what was I thinking? Picking the Seahawks to win that game among my best bet picks. I will not apologize, but I will say that I was wrong. And I'm glad I was, as a matter of fact. 404-231-1680, the number. You want to get in here, talk about the Falcons' big win yesterday in Seattle. Is this a indication of what's to come? Are you believing that this season for the Falcons will be able to be one that we can absorb during the course of the year and be surprised and impressed with? Because I think right now we've got an opportunity now to go 5-12 instead of the 4-13 I was believing coming into the year. With this win, we've got an opportunity to now to go 5-12. Now, it's going to hurt our draft slot, but maybe make Falcons fans a little happier. Nernie, what do you think, man? Win like that yesterday leaves you impressed? How impressed are you?
I thought the Falcons, I picked the Falcons to win on Saturday, so I'm not overly surprised that we got the win, but it was good to see. I mean, it was
what
good
was
to
your
see.
Reasoning on that?
Because I don't think we were going to go 0-3. I know Arthur's had some moments in his post-game pressers over the last couple weeks, but I really like what he's doing offensively, and I guess part of the reason why is I look at the offensive line a lot, and I think over the past decade or so, we've had play calling that has not been friendly to offensive linemen. I think Arthur Smith does a really, really good job of keeping defenses off balance as opposed to just dropping a quarterback back into a 5 or 7 step drop and hoping that your offensive line can pass protect for that long. I think he's done a really good job offensively. And I had a little bit of faith in them that we would get this win, and they got it done.
Yeah, Arthur Smith, man, I was impressed a year ago, in spite of the fact of the lousy season we had. He showed me that a lot of the things you were just talking about there, I think he's a tough guy that knows football and just needed the personnel to be upgraded a little bit. And obviously they still need to go about doing that. But I think we got us a football coach here. I mean, he's a first-timer being a head coach, so it's not like you – I don't expect him to go be perfect in front of the media.
Who cares?
You know, the one time I spent when they hired Arthur Smith and Mr. Fontenot, the Falcons did something I was really impressed with. They had hosted a social with the media covering the Atlanta Falcons, so I made plans to go, and I went. Hanging out with the other media members there. And, you know, my first impression of Arthur Smith was he's not really a people person based on the social that we were at. He didn't interact easily.
It's not fantasy football.
Now, Fontenot did. He seemed to be a people person. But at that point in time, I was thinking, you know, as I left, to me it doesn't really matter, what kind of relationship the head coach has with the media or whether he's going to, get along with them or be a people person. And I just want a football coach. I mean, is that asking too much? Just want a football coach because I want to win football games. And so maybe a little bit of glimmer of hope now moving forward with the Atlanta Falcons, or maybe it's just that the Seahawks have been exposed.
And let me say this. If it means an extra win, I would still rather have 4 wins opposed to 5. But I mean, the way that they played, this could be a team that is closer to a 6 or 7 win total at the end of the year if they keep playing. And you know, the most surprising thing out of everything yesterday, the fact that we won the game on a defensive stand. I mean, when was the last time that happened?
Yeah, I didn't expect to see that. In fact, do you know what I was expecting to see?
Oh, as soon as
Geno Smith lead him down the field for the game-winning score.
As soon as they fumbled that exchange, yeah.
Yeah, and the running back wouldn't let go of the football, for crying out loud. I guess he's a rookie. It's tough to blame him for that. Seems like a lot of the knuckleheads want to blame it on the quarterback, though. He couldn't get it out of there. Come on, rookie. Get it together. Ken joins us on the Fan here on the Buck Belue Show. Ken, what's going on, man?
Yeah, you were talking about how our coach kind of, you know, isn't really a people person. Have you ever noticed that he talks and sounds like Dan Aykroyd in one of his roles?
Dan Aykroyd. I'll have to compare that a little more closely.
He reminds me of when he's in, like, a home improvement role or something like that.
Yeah, and he makes sure he covers up that mouth when he's calling those plays, right? You don't want anybody to read those lips.
Well, it's a good thing that Mariota can move around. Otherwise, we wouldn't have won.
Yeah, I give him a thumbs up on a start to the season. Just looking at all things considered, you get a guy that comes in. I believe Arthur Smith believes in Mariota. Mariota believes in Arthur Smith. And, you know, that's going to help this team during the course of the season this year. We appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much. It's time now for the Bulldog Roundtable.
The Fan is proud to be the official sports talk station of the Dogs. And it's time for Bulldog Roundtable with Buck Belue.
25-20, far sideline, 15, 10, 5. Get in there! Touchdown!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's own credit union, Howe Glogroup, Georgia Pack and Load, Stat Hero, T-Mobile, and by attorney Ken Nugent.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Only on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
The Bulldogs, they're now 4-0, number one in college football. Stay at that number one spot, except for the Buck Belue Show. We've got them number two. They did not look like the number one team in college football this past Saturday against Kent State in a 39-22 win. And I would say two things, all right? Number one, Bulldogs coming into the game 46-point favorites over the Golden Flashes. Entering the game a 46-point favorite. So I, you know, the old football player in me tells me no real momentum coming into the game, no real edge for Georgia coming into the game, with the expectation being we got to blow these suckers out. So I think maybe a little bit of the edge was missing on Saturday. And I think Kent State, too, a little bit better than most people expected them to be. The Golden Flashes, I thought the best thing they did X's and O's wise against Georgia on Saturday was confusing Stetson Bennett a little bit in the passing game. Kent State was disguising their coverages as well as anybody I've seen over the last year and a half with Stetson as the quarterback. And what they're showing that shell coverage prior to the snap, and then after the snap of the ball, they went into their coverage, whether it was the cover three or the quarters coverage, the cover one. They showed you one thing before the snap, and that was very consistent. And then at the snap of the ball, that's where they got into their coverage. And I think that confused Stetson a little bit, slowed down this Georgia offense at the beginning of the game. So those were the two factors. Tough to really play your best when you're expected to win by 46 points. I'm just saying, just trying to be real. And then they did a really good job coaching-wise going up against us in the game on Saturday. Kirby, I love the way Kirby handles the media after these ball games, because when Georgia looks great and Georgia lays the hammer down, you got the media will fall in line and start out, well, Stetson was awesome on Saturday, and Woodja Bowers was the best player in college football, and Kirby, how about that defense? Defense looks like the best that we've seen here at Georgia. Kirby will immediately go opposite of what the media wants him to be. So you win big, Kirby's going to tear down the team a little bit. You win not so big, Kirby's going to build up the team a little bit. I bet the media, most of the media is really perplexed by the way he handles that. Let's hear from Kirby after the game Saturday. This is right after the win over Kent State.
For Kent State going into the game and just as much respect coming out of it. You know, I thought they were really a good football team, very disciplined, very physical, really good brand of football. I always tell our kids, when you turn on the special team tape on Sunday, you find out who you're playing. We thought they were a really good football team, and they proved that today.
Yeah, and Kirby pointed out, too, some of the positives that went on. Georgia ran it for 250 yards. They did not punt in the game. If you were the Georgia punter, you could have taken the day off. And look, Brock Bauer has continued to be just really nothing short of amazing what the Georgia tight end is doing. He is the 75-yard touchdown sprint on the jet sweep. Tremendous. Seven touches in the game. When he touches it, he's giving you 20 yards per touch. Pretty amazing there. Ladd McConkey had a tough game. Had people on social media saying, Blue, you can't have McConkey on any more the week of these games. You were bad luck for Ladd McConkey. Really? Let's not go with that narrative. I don't want anybody, thinking, okay, you can't have this guy on because, Blue, you're bad luck. Let's get rid of that narrative. But Ladd McConkey, sure, he dropped the ball. The punt return he dropped, had a fumbled catch, I believe, after the catch, laid it on the ground. But and he got an earful from Kirby Smart when he came off the field. But I tell you what I love about Ladd McConkey, he's tough. I mean, he stood there and he took it from Coach Smart, and then he went on about his business. Did he lay down and go get in the fetal position and cry and whine? No. He still had six catches in the game. Dealt with adversity, pretty good example of that. What would be the Georgia Bulldogs, their best play offensively? Would it be the jet sweep with Brock Bowers getting the ball? Well, I believe they got three touchdowns on that play. Or would the best play be the check down pass to Kenny McIntosh? They've been doing a lot of that too. He's got 21 catches, leading the team with 21 catches right now. So flip a coin on which one of those would be the best play that they have offensively right now. Let's take a call before we get to the break here. Joseph joins us on the fan. Hello, Joseph. What are you thinking about this Bulldog victory Saturday?
Well, I didn't get to watch the game. I was out about doing things. I listened to it, and I've always said this, whether it be baseball was always – walks and errors kill you. In football, it's obvious. It's turnovers. And I don't care who you play. I count that game as four turnovers because the fake punt. I mean, you're basically handed the ball. And I believe the defense just got played a lot more than what they've been used to playing. And that's probably a good thing that they saw a lot more, maybe a little bit of adversity in a game where it shouldn't even have been close. You take the four turnovers out of that game, it is a blowout. And then the drop passes kind of hurt us a little bit. I thought Stetson probably would have had over 300 yards and probably a couple touchdowns if they caught the passes that were dropped. He did have a good comeback. McConkey did. He didn't lay down the fetal position. That's a good thing to see him overcome that. And if I can make one comment about Tennessee-Florida, if I watched that game, and the only thing as a Georgia fan that I see, Hooker had a great game, but he took a beating in that game. And they have LSU, Alabama, Georgia, and Kentucky on the schedule. And running the ball like that, you know, Buck, I don't know that guy makes it every game because he had a couple of moments where it looked like he had something that was dislocated or something in his back was out of line or something because he looked like he was kind of holding himself. And I'm like, dude, you keep taking hits like that, you ain't going to make it through the season.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. We appreciate you listening to the show. Thanks for coming on. Come back on the other side. We'll talk about who replaces Jeff Collins at Georgia Tech. Got some reports already swirling around out there of people who may be on the A-list. We'll hit that in the nugget. Coming up next, Buck Belue Show here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Happy Monday to you. It's the Buck Belue Show here on the Fan, 680 and 93.7. Hope your weekend was awesome. We settle into a new week. We've got a storm approaching at some point this week, don't we?
But it's beautiful right now. So
man, we've had a great run here. It seemed like it rained for like 3 weeks, and now it's been beautiful for a couple of weeks. Now here comes the hurricane, or the tropical storm. Yeah.
Hurricanes, just got to watch out for those Blue Raiders.
It'll probably show up here in Atlanta, some of the bands, just in time for Georgia high school football on Friday night. And week 7 of Friday Night Football is powered by Georgia Power. All season long, we're bringing you the best high school football action from around the state. You can tune in to Extra 106.3 and listen to the game. This game coming up this Friday night is Fellowship Christian is hosting Rabun County at 7:30. You can tune in for all the live play-by-play game coverage with Carl Worrell and Doug Conkle. And then stay tuned for the Georgia High School Scoreboard Show with Chris Mooneyham and Brandon Joseph for scores and updates from around the state of Georgia. The Friday Night Football Game of the Week and Georgia High School Scoreboard Show are powered by Georgia Power and presented by Truist, Marco's Pizza, the University of West Georgia, and Fox 5 Atlanta. All right, let's get to a nugget.
Tasty. Time for the College Football Nugget, presented by your locally owned and operated Ace Hardware. Find your neighborhood store at acehardware.com.
All right, the elephant in the room is Georgia Tech has reportedly fired Jeff Collins. That happened over the weekend after the loss to UCF, and now the athletic board reportedly meeting right now as we speak, talking about the Collins buyout, which I believe to be $12 million, and the fate of Todd Stansbury, the athletic director since 2016. Who hired Jeff Collins and gave him a 7-year contract. So let's be among the first to look ahead publicly and who will replace Jeff Collins as the Georgia Tech head coach. Got a couple of ideas here. And the name that is popping right now, believe it or not, and it seems like such an odd match, Georgia Tech and primetime Deion Sanders.
Primetime.
Now, that talk about a splash move. My goodness, that would be a splash move. Now, I spoke with a well-connected Georgia Tech alumni and a former championship-caliber player prior to the show today, and he mentioned the obvious thing with Deion Sanders. Let's say Tech did hire primetime. Well, if Deion had any success at all, he would be jumping to the next job so quick, it would have Georgia Tech spinning. Deion came in, if he had any success at all, he'd be jumping to a top 25 job quickly. So that would be the drawback with Deion Sanders. What about Tech hitting their rival hard and going after Todd Monken?
Georgia Bulldog offensive coordinator. He's already, his name's being thrown around with that Arizona State job. Look, he's got head coaching experience. He's got experience both in the NFL and in major college football. He knows the landscape in this part of the country. That would be a really good match. Sort of reminds me of when they went over to Georgia and got Bill Lewis back in the day. Bro, that didn't really work out. Todd Monken could be in play. And then what about Bill O'Brien? He's a tough, hard-nosed coach, both in the NFL and college football with head coaching experience. What about Bill O'Brien? Just some thoughts there in the college football nugget. All right, time for the final word. And want to use this 15 seconds to give a big shout-out to Ian Grimwade, the general manager at Bears Best Atlanta, and also Marty Topper, the assistant golf pro. Had a much-needed afternoon on the golf course yesterday at Bears Best. It is in primo shape. If you're looking to play some great golf on a course that's in tremendous shape right now, Bears Best is looking good. Marty Topper, put it on me, man. I believe he had an even par 72. I had to write down 81 after getting on the bogey train on the back nine. But fall break, you got to love it, dads. Opened up my schedule enough to play my own ball for a change. That was a lot of fun yesterday at Bears Best. All right, that's going to do it for my show today. Nick and Chris are coming up next. Hope you'll be back tomorrow, 10 to 11, here on The Fan. Have a great rest of the day, everybody.
Thank you, Buck.
Okay, thanks a lot, Buck.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.